Welcome back to the podcast. On today's episode, we have Rich Froning Jr. on the show to talk about all things faith, family, and of course, fitness. Rich is an American professional CrossFit athlete known for his achievements in the CrossFit Games. For those of you who have never heard of Rich Froning, if you're in the CrossFit space, you've definitely heard of him. He's a four-time individual champ. The guy crushed it, and he went on to lead his team six different times to win the CrossFit Games. I've known Rich for a really long time. I've known him as a competitor. We competed against each other for years. But more importantly, I've seen him as a husband. I've seen him as a father. I've seen him as someone that I think is leading from the front and doing an incredible job. And today, that's really what we talk about, right? We talk about the things that for me in my life, and I know for Rich in his life, that are really important to us. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Simple ask if you do. Share with a friend. Leave us a rating. But most importantly, just enjoy the episode. Keep getting after it. Talk to you soon.
I've learned you just don't waste conversation, you know? You just like start it.
You just get right into it. Yeah, we were just talking about how the last time I mean, you know, we've obviously known each other for years, but the last time I saw you like online like this, Savon basically like, I don't know, what would you say? Like he kind of like, he sneakily threw you in there when I'm like showing like a-
Yeah, he basically, he got you to talk about all the stuff on your wall. And as you're talking about all your medals and whatever, he brings me on. So I had no idea. And then I just show up and you're talking about your stuff. So, and then you took your shirt off and, you know.
I'm like, dude, it's like, if there's ever a worse time to try and show like an old 2008, because I wanted to show like how the medal was like hella old school. Yeah. Yep. And then you come on, I'm like, oh shit.
Nah, like, heck no. You got to show like, that stuff off, dude.
Dude, I don't know, man. And then, yeah, you're right. Like, someone offered it, or I said, if someone dropped $100 bonus for him, I'd take my shirt off. And so, hey, Savannah owes me some coffee or something.
Yeah, he does something.
I never saw any of that money.
the metal thing's funny. Cause like right now, you know, we've competed in CrossFit for so long, and I just finished that Leadville mountain bike race. And so I'm talking to Hillary about it, and she's used to CrossFit. And she's like, so what do you like, if you win this thing, what happens? I'm like, first of all, I'm not going to win this thing. I said, but you know, there's different stipulations or stair steps. Basically, if you finish sub 9 hours or sub 12 hours, you get a belt buckle. And then sub 9 hours, you get a bigger belt buckle. And she looks at me and she's like, you've won the CrossFit Games and you're trying to win a belt buckle. And I'm like, absolutely. And she's like, why don't we just buy one on Etsy? And I'm, that's not the point. You know, she just doesn't understand it, but it's, you know, you get it. It's just
it's earned, man. Like, for example, was it at the Rogue Invitational? I got a belt buckle. Like, I'm not going to wear it. Like,
yeah. Those are cool. Yeah.
But I'm just going to have it, you know,
I wear mine. And so what we do too now at the farm is like, when we work the bison, so when we have to give them shots or whatever, anybody who comes and volunteers and helps, because nobody wants money. Everybody's like, no, I'll come do it for free. So we buy food and then we give them a belt buckle, but you have to earn the belt buckle. Like, it's not a belt buckle you can buy. And so we have two stages, like everybody who helps gets a belt buckle, but then there's like extraordinary circumstances where you get the into the storm belt buckle. So it's turned into a pretty cool thing. People want the belt buckle.
Dude, I'm not cool enough for a belt buckle yet. You know what? It's funny. I was at the Rogue Invitational.
Why not?
So I'm at the Rogue Invitational. You know, they gave us like those legit, what brand of the hat? Like Stats. What's the brand of the hat they gave us? I have it sitting over there. Like a cowboy hat. Like,
So like a Stetson or whatever.
Yeah. Like super legit.
I own a farm and I can't bring myself to wear a cowboy hat.
Okay.
So let's, I'm not cool enough for a cowboy hat, you know?
So I get this legit cowboy hat, which I have in the corner. Legit boots and like legit belt buckle from Rogue, which they obviously always take care of us. And I never wore it because I'm out here in California. Like, I'm not a cowboy, like whatever. Right. So I never wore it. So sure enough, we're going to a country concert and it's like an outdoor, like whatever venue. Yep. And my wife's like, hey, you know, like you got this gear, like you should wear it. You're ever going to wear it. This is the type of place. So I'm already feeling hella self-conscious, right? Like, dude, I'm kind of a poser. Like, I shouldn't be wearing this. Like, what am I doing? Yep. And sure enough, I'm at this place and this guy walks up to me. He's being super cool. He just walks up to me. He's like, he like taps me on the shoulder. He's like, hey bro, you're wearing that hat. You wear that hat backwards or whatever. I'm just like, ah, shit. You know,
anyways, dang it.
He was being cool about it. He wasn't like calling me out. He just was like, hey, I'm just letting you know, man, you're wearing it the wrong way.
It's such a weird thing. Cause like we own a farm. So now like I started out, I'm like, boots are acceptable, you know, like cowboy boots, roping boots are acceptable. I don't wear, you know, like they've got to be, they're acceptable, right? So then it was, we got a belt buckle. I'd never had a belt buckle. Got one at Rogue, and I'm like, all right, I can wear this, but I wear it under, you know, like nobody can really see it. I know
it's
there.
You don't tuck in the shirt yet.
No. And then now that we have the farm and like we've done this belt buckle thing, now I'll show it off every once in a while, but still the cowboy hat, like I can ride a horse. I don't love riding horses, but I can ride a horse. I've even like roped the cows. So I feel like, you know, the next step would be the cowboy hat, but I just don't feel right in it. You know, I just feel like you said, like a poser. I'm like, nah, I'll just wear my baseball hat, you know?
Dude. Yeah. I mean, I think you could definitely pull it off more than I can because you have a ranch and all these different things.
Right.
But like,
I still don't feel right. You know, like unless I'm out like on the prairie and like actually going to rodeos or something, I'm just like, I can't wear that.
So how often, so you're at the office right now, but do you mainly stay at the house or do you go into the gym pretty often?
I'm at the gym every day, especially when the kids are in school. So right now they just started school a couple weeks ago. So I'm here a lot more. This summer I was, you know, hit or miss. I would probably come 4 times a week, but not as long. Like today, I've got really nothing else to do other than hang out here. We got to do some video stuff. Like came in this morning, did some video stuff. You know, had a couple meetings yesterday. You know, when the kids are out of school, I try to maximize that time as much. Like this summer, and I was training for Leadville. So, you know, I'd get up in the morning relatively early, hit a bike ride before the kids got up or right as they were kind of getting up. And then, you know, one session-ish in the afternoon. I just like to work out twice a day. Not necessarily train twice a day, but like to move twice a day. So, but yeah, this time of year, I'm here quite a bit because I'm, like I said, I got nothing else to do.
How old are the kids now? I know, I think Lakeland's the same age.
Lake's the same as Cade.
Son. Yeah,
yep, so Lake's nine. Same age as Cade, so nine. Lakeland just turned 9 in July. Trice is 6, and Violet is 5.
Okay, so you got like what, TK, like preschool? What
so we're third grade and kindergarten. Both the little two are in kindergarten. So Trice is, we didn't hold him back, but we just started him late because, you know, boys, man, like Violet so like willing to learn and sit and, you know, do whatever. And Trice is just like, you know, Trice, he's a freaking maniac, which it's a ton of fun. But he was like, and they do really well with each other. Like he kind of, not that, you know, she needs protection, but he kind of looks out for her. And then she also looks out for him like, hey, Trice, we shouldn't do that. You know, like a little motherly type too. So it's pretty fun with those two.
How big are the classes? Because have you heard of like some of these more, like, do you know who Matt Boudreau is and like Acton mm-hmm. academies and like schools like that? So one of the things that I was thinking about, and I don't know how you feel about this, like where you live out in Cookeville, like, is there alternative school routes? So for example, where I'm at, you have the private school system, you have the, you know, private Catholic, et cetera.
Yep.
Then you have the public school system. Then there are some like, I don't want to call
charter-ish them. Or
yeah, like fringe, like where, so for example, what this gentleman, Matt Boudreau, has at these acting academies is it's like a completely different way of looking at education. Like it's not so grade formatted. It's a different way of looking at it. It's more like entrepreneurial. They're having them do more stuff together. It's not right. So like cookie cutter. What kind
like
of
real life type stuff?
Yeah. Like, they definitely lean more towards like, hey, how are we going to prepare these guys to be young leaders in the future versus like
right.
put them in a system, you know?
Yeah. So there's the traditional, you know, public school system, which I went to, which that's where the kids are right now. So we've bounced around, man. We're thinking of some different things. There is a private school in town. That's like it's not a Catholic school, but it's a traditional kind of Christian school, non-denominational. Yeah. There's a charter or what are they calling it? It's like a hybrid, like you go to class 2 days and then you're homeschooled-ish for 2 days. And then a third day is like a STEM day. We've thought about that route. You know, the more and more, the older I get, I guess, and less like competition focused I get, like I'm kind of in that phase right now. Like now it's like, instead of competition, it's more like challenges, you know, yeah. Like guys like us don't stop looking for challenges, and like physical challenge is a huge part of that for both of us. And so, as I do that though, I'm like, all right, I need to figure out how do I, you know, help set up my kids for the best future, you know? And so like, yeah, the traditional schooling system, I don't love. Like we get these stupid reports on like standardized tests all the time. And
yeah,
I just don't like thinking, I'm like, my kids are not standardized test kids. Like my kids are wide open, but they know how to do things. Like one of this, and this is just a snapshot. So we have a member at the gym, you know, our brand kind of identity is Faith Family Fitness Service.
Right.
And so service, we have made a mission nonprofit, but we have a member here that started a chapter of what's called Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And so they build beds. They take rough cut lumber and they have this kind of assembly line. People come in for, we came in 3 hours, two Saturdays ago, and we built beds for kids in the area that don't have beds, right? So Trice comes and there's a bunch of kids here. So of course he comes, puts two or three screws in with me and then takes off. But I'm fine with that. Like, at least you're seeing, you know, that type of stuff.
You're seeing the work get done. You know it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So last week or on Tuesday, I'm like talking to Revo. Revo's awesome. Revo Larson. He was an engineer for Disney. Wanted to retire somewhere else other than Florida, moved up here and is an incredible member, like just comes and hangs out. And but he started this chapter. So I'm like, Revo, let me know when you go deliver some beds. I want my kids to have some perspective and see, you know, because your kids, my kids, like let's say what it is, they're privileged. Like they're not ever gonna, you know. And so we go, and man, it was such a cool thing to see my 5-year-old with a drill putting in lag bolts. And Revo's like, yeah, kids, like step in here, help and do all that. And like, you, just basic skills. So I'm not a carpenter by any means, but my dad, you know, my dad can build, envision anything. I can't do the envision side, but if you tell me, hey, we need to drill some holes, we need to cut some wood, I can do that. But it's a lost art. You know, like when I was working out here with these people, like some people don't even know how to hold a drill. And so I'm looking at my 5-year-old who's already able now to use a drill and think about, not like I wouldn't trust her to go by herself. Like I'm right there with her. And, but man, it was such a cool experience to see them doing those types of things.
Yeah, like the trades type stuff.
How can I, cause I feel like at public school or most schools, there's not that it's wasted time, but there's a ton of downtime. And I'm like, could I hammer out 2 to 3 hours of, you know, your traditional learning, reading, history, science, and then take them to my dad and be like, hey, let's build something. And every week have some type of project or go out and do some service type stuff. And so, man, it's like, you know, you get down to these rabbit holes and everything sounds good. And then you try to teach your kids or help them with homework. And you're like, why can't you read that? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
so. Yeah, I got to connect you with Matt Boudreau because he's kind of more on that side. I agree with you, man. I mean, I think that's where we kind of come in as parents, is kind of filling in the gaps, at least where I'm concerned. Like, you know, my wife and I, we both went to private Catholic school our whole life. And that's the avenue we're taking for our kids. Cause that's what, if I'm being honest, like that's probably what feels comfortable for us. Like that's what we know.
Right. It's what you know.
That's what we know. And, but then filling in the gaps, like what you're talking about, like how can I, so one of my big things that I'm huge into right now is like Caden. He's very like, he likes like primal type stuff. So he wants to go explore the outdoors. He wants to go hunting. He wants to go do all these things. Yeah. And I don't have an expertise in all these areas. And so I've been seeking out experts to try and help. Like he wanted to go scuba diving. So we went and seeked out experts. I don't know anything about scuba diving.
Right? Yeah. You shouldn't unless you know an expert for sure.
So I'm like, well, dude, let's go find an expert. And so those are the ways, I guess I'm trying to fill in the gaps of finding out, like, and as you know, man, with three kids, like with my two, like they're completely different kids and they have completely different interests. And like, I got to kind of like foster each relationship a little bit differently.
A little bit differently. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure. Yeah, man. I know a place where you can come hunt. So let me know.
Well, yeah, because we're talking to, you know, obviously I was just out at the Origin Jiu-Jitsu camp and we have a network there. And dude, I went out and I was I don't want to say bow hunting. I was target shooting with shooting. Jocko.
Yeah. Yep.
And so Jocko's getting up and he's, you know, he's working his bow. And so I got to put a few shots. I have a bow. But yeah, that's something I'm very, very interested in. And I know Caden's even more interested in it than I am.
Once you start shooting your bow, there's something like therapeutic to it. There's something like, and the best way I had it explained to me was, I went out and hung out with Cam Haynes and the owner of the bow rack, Wayne. He basically, he's like, think about it, how you approach a barbell every time. He's like, set your feet, you know, put your hands where they need to go, draw, anchor. You like, and for me that clicked. I'm like, oh, duh, that makes sense. You know, so every shot's the same. So, and you know, I like shooting guns. I love shooting guns, but for me, something about a bow, I don't need ear protection. I don't need all this. And I can just cycle some arrows. Like right now I'm getting ready to go elk hunting in a week from today, actually.
Yeah.
And so I'm shooting anywhere from 16 to 20 arrows a day from 60 yards, just trying to hone that in, you know? And so, man, there's just something therapeutic to it.
Well, watching Jocko do it. So again, it was like early in the morning, we're out at Maine, it's mainly jiu-jitsu camp, but dude, just watching the way that, like exactly what you said, he set up the same, he placed it the same, he breathed the same
and then thing,
boom. Yeah. And then he released. And it was just really interesting because to your point, like a barbell, it's like right foot, left foot, boom, set it up. And he was doing like, if I'm not mistaken, like, you know, five arrows at this distance, five arrows at this distance, five arrows at this distance. But dude, I saw some videos of them elk hunting and it's just a different beast because they're like 30 yards away from these giant animals.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah. The one the one I killed last year was 40 yards away.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like a different type of sport than like rifle hunting.
I've done both. And you know, last year I did both. And so one I killed from 40 yards and one I killed from 400 yards. And so there's definitely something to the bow of it just being, it's very personal, I guess, because you're up close and personal. You can see the breath, you can see the life, and when, you know, nothing wrong with rifle. Cause I mean, the meat that I have from that cow is the best meat that I've had from wild game. And that bull is a little, what they call ruddy, you know, it's a little like he's full of testosterone. You can taste it.
Oh yeah.
And so, but yeah, there's just something to shooting a bow and just that primal, like you're saying, the primal aspect to it.
Do your kids, so where do you fall in the category of like, I'm sure you get this a lot. So I was just at the CrossFit Games. I know you were too. Mm-hmm. And I get often all the time. And when I'm on these events, like, hey, when you're, you know, is your kid going to be the next CrossFit game? Maybe not the next, but like a future CrossFit Games champion or, you know, how often are you having them do CrossFit? So I'm curious, like for you with the three kids. And as I said, like for me, this has been my journey with my children. The journey's been like, if I push too hard, like I want them to have a really healthy relationship with fitness. Yep. I want them to look at this thing like they're going to do it for the rest of their life. Like it's not going to be today, tomorrow. And so I've had to kind of like take a step back a little bit and kind of meet them where they're at, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever.
Yep.
But I'm not intending my children to like specialize in CrossFit. So like, where are you at on that spectrum of things? And like, what relationship does fitness play compared to like sports and other kind of stuff?
So for me, what I think of is like the teen CrossFit Games is over here. The way I'm raising my kids is over here.
Over here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's like, you know, I love CrossFit. I think it's incredible. I think it should be used. So like I'm helping my high school, my former high school baseball team. One of the guys I played with is the head coach now. So I will use some CrossFit methodologies, traditional strength and conditioning, but hey, some finishers, some conditioning, like we're going to do some CrossFit type stuff. Right.
Right.
I think it's an incredible thing for sport. I think kids need to learn how to move a barbell, how to do those things. But I think as a sport, I would prefer, you know, I'll support my kids in any athletic endeavor they want to do. So if they decide, hey, I want to compete at the teen games, I will try to defer that. But if that's what they want to do, I'm going to support them. Here's my approach to fitness with my kids. Get outside, go get off the TV, get off, you know, like if I walk in the morning and one of them has gotten up early and they're on the TV, I'm like, beat it. Yeah. And I buy them whatever bike they want to have, whatever, you know, we've got these drift trikes that are just ridiculous, stupid,
all like, kind of balls, anything you can think
a pitch back, you know, like a, you know, one of those nets, you throw a ball against it, comes back to you. Anything physically active that they say they want to do, I will purchase, I will get behind. We don't have any real electronics. We do have a Nintendo Switch that gets used for travel and that's it. Yeah, we have some iPads the same. But man, you know, that's the way I was raised. It was get outside, go find something to do, or else I'm going to find you something to do. And my parents could find the worst chores to do. So, I mean, and what's cool is like my kids like to do that stuff, you know, so they'll get up and first thing that Trice, like every morning before we go to school, he's like, Dad, let's go race the drift trikes. Dude. And so we'll do two or three hot laps. I'm full panting, sweating. He is too. It's probably good for his brain before school to get that out.
100%. And,
you know, like I said, I don't want to harp on, like, I get too, like, this is a hot topic for me, but the games for teens, you've got the rest of your life to compete in CrossFit, play as many sports as you can. Like Lakeland, finally, you know, I've always been like, hey, we're going to do something. So she wanted to do cheerleading. I said, no cheerleading, but I'll pay for you to do at this age, no cheerleading. I'll pay for you to do gymnastics, like flips, tumble, all that stuff. Right. Well, she saw Trice play coach's pitch because also one of my things is until you tell me you want to play a sport, we're not playing that sport because I'm not going to force you to do something and then watch you kick dirt and, you know, not pay attention and be, have to be pushed, you know? So with them, they all, Lakeland and Violet both saw Trice play coach's pitch. So this year, Violet's like, I want to play T-ball. Lakeland wants to play coach's pitch. And dude, it is so much fun to see Lakeland. Like, she's intense and she's kind of like scrappy and she's never really played, but she can get in position and she's got a cannon for a shoulder. And so she, it's been fun to watch. And then Violet, man, it's hilarious just to see her. Cause she's more like wants to play with Barbies and yeah. Lakeland is too. She's girly girl, but both of them have that switch to, where they're like, oh, now it's a competition. We want to do something, you know? So it's been a ton of fun.
Are they doing, when you say coach pitch, I imagine maybe at Lakeland's age, they start doing softball, or is she still doing?
Like, so she's coaches baseball. Pitch softball. This is the coaches last pitch. Year coaches pitch softball. So at T-ball, basically here at whenever you split off a T-ball, you go your separate
like
ways.
Which
is good. Cause we tried to play soccer and Lakeland playing with boys. She didn't like it, you know, like I think she was with a bunch of girls. She would have been fine, but cause she's super athletic. She's tall, she's lanky, she's fast. And she, like I said, she's got a little bit of nasty in her, which is good.
Yeah.
But you know, like it's just been fun. You know, me as a competitor to see that in them, you're like, oh, bro. Hell yeah. Like I can work with this.
Dude, you know, what's so funny. You and I have messaged about this a little bit, like growing up, my dad came from Iran. My mom, she had a different background. They didn't know anything about traditional American sports. So when I grew up, I played a little bit of soccer because that was what my dad knew from Iran. And then I found like non-traditional.
BMX, right?
Yeah, BMX. Because my neighbors were doing it, right? And it's so funny because now here I am with my kids. I'm trying to expose them to as many things as I can. Recently, I'm trying to see if we can get Caden to check out rugby or lacrosse. They're actually pretty popular. Just to at least try it. Because I figure once the kids get past like... I think the number for me is like 10, 11 years old. It's going to be hard for them to try a bunch of new things because kids are going to be too far advanced in front of them. Right.
But yeah. Dude, they're going to get pissed and frustrated.
Exactly. But I'm telling you, dude, baseball, I don't know, man. I love watching youth baseball and the athleticism that's developed is incredible. Like Caden, he'll probably end up playing, you know, I think he'll be pretty successful at football because he's got that mentality. But we don't need to get him there yet. Like we don't need to have him tackle yet. Like we're having to play flag and all that kind of
stuff. Flag, man. So teach kids how to play flag first.
That's it. And but to your point, man, it's like, you know, we don't have our rule. This is, and I imagine yours is probably similar. Our rule is like, bro, you want to go to your friend's house to go play video games? Like it's all good. Like go be with your friends. And if I'm not going to be that dad who says, no, you can't go play, you know, Madden with your friends. But at our house, we just don't have any games.
We don't have it.
And the reason is twofold. One is if we got it, I'd probably be playing some like Call of Duty and I don't want to be tempted by that.
No, exactly. I have an addictive personality. I don't need that in my life.
I don't need that in my life. So anyways, for us though, man, the baseball has been incredible. And then obviously just allowing that, but finding a balance, you know, I just think I was having a conversation the other day with someone where when your kids are born, they're at like a factory reset and then you get to control the inputs as much as possible. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of other people that are controlling the inputs too.
Right.
It's like normalizing this idea that like it's normal. Like when you get up or whatever, like just go outside, go do stuff. Like go that's normal. Stuff.
Yeah. You know, and talking about that, even like with my girls, it's cool that they come to this gym and they see women working out on the regular. You know, there's been times where I'm like, hey, you can't wear a crop top to school. You can wear it at home. Nobody around. That's like, whatever. Like, I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't wear at the house. Like, we're just hanging out in public. We're not going to wear. And Hillary's like, well, they see it all the time. I'm like, yeah, but that's where us as parents say, hey, they're not wearing that, you know? So Hillary's vehemently against the crop top. And I'm like, 100%. But she's like, yeah, but the girls are always wearing them. And I'm like, sorry, Lake, we're not doing it, you know?
Dude, it's so crazy, man. I was at a football game the other day for a local high school. And just watching what the girls wear, I'm like, what the hell is going on? I told Ava, so my daughter, you know, Ava's 12 and
that's crazy.
You know, she wears some kind of like, I'm like, I've almost every day I hear myself being like, dude, like, do you not have more clothes to put on? Like, why are you wearing this? But you know, I think what you were saying was that our children, our girls, they're growing up in a way where like this morning I was having Ava do kettlebell deadlifts, right? With a double arm. Right. Yeah. And she likes to train in the morning, and because she plays volleyball, but she, I see her as the type of person that uses fitness as a way to like look good, feel good, whatever.
Yeah. And, but I, here's the deal. 99% of the people are doing that. And that's okay.
And it's okay. Right. I don't see her playing like hardcore sports indefinitely. It's just not her thing. Right.
Yeah.
But I was having her deadlift, and to her and your girls too, they're surrounded by these women who lift weights and they don't get huge, big, and bulky. They get strong. And like, strong. So their vision is different than many other women who think like, oh my gosh, if I touch a weight, I'm going to get big and bulky, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. No, I love it. I love the environment that, you know, it's okay to move. It's okay to lift weights. It's okay to come in here. Like the kids, I will say the only time I've ever like made them work out is CrossFit Kids. I'm like, which is glorified PE class, you know, when they were younger, but now they love it. But I'll walk in random times in the basement or in the back, and they've set up like, especially after competitions, they'll set up like their own competitions, and it's just play, you know, like they're picking up dumbbells, like horrible, atrocious form. And Trice is watching Lakeland. And if she gets ahead, he, you know, cuts his reps and hops on the GHD or whatever. And they're just messing around, having fun.
Dude, that's the way it should be. So just real quick on the teens CrossFit thing, because this is an interesting point that in my opinion, I have a few opinions on the CrossFit games, but in my opinion, I think the 14 and 15. So if I had like a, you know, whatever, I would say that Thanos. I think that there needs to be more. Yeah. Thanos. I think there needs to be more repeated events, the CrossFit games, so that just like when you're watching baseball, it's like, hey, the, you know, home run, record is this, or
right.
I think for new spectators coming on, it's difficult. Like it's difficult for me as someone who's in the community to know what the events are and how they flow and what's going on. I think repeating some events could help for the longevity and the growth to get it outside of this community and build it larger, because people can start knowing more of what's going on.
Right.
The second thing is with judging issues. Like if you always have a new event every year, every time.
A new movement for sure. Yeah.
Like new stuff is going to come up. And so I would say like more repeated type events. And then I do think removing the 14 and 15 year old is actually going to be better for the overall longevity of the sport. And the reason why I say that is you look at some of these girls in particular, boys too, probably burn out, and bro, they might be hitting their prime. If they just waited a little bit longer, they could have a much longer trajectory. What do you think about that?
100% agree with that. There's no reason to have 14 and 15 year old kids competing. They need to be playing other sports, I think, for development, for growth, for, even leadership type stuff. You know, I learned a ton by being on sports teams. I learned how to motivate different people, how to follow different people that were good leaders, not crappy leaders, how to, relate to, it's just, there's so much you can learn. And, you know, I'm just even at the age that the kids are right now, like handling pressure, you know, like we've got a little girl on one, Lakeland's really good friend, puked the first day before her softball game because she was so nervous. And you're like, wow, you don't think about that. But that's like, I mean, now that she's got that over with, she's comfortable. And so it's like trying new things and having that pressure. And there's so much to be learned from youth sports. You know, there's some bad things from youth sports, like parents putting way too much emphasis on kids at a young age and specializing and, you know, thinking their kid's going to be the next, you know, Babe Ruth or whatever.
Famer, so,
yeah. But I mean, that happens in every sport, but man, there's such a, with good youth sports, there's such a great advantage to be gained by doing those things.
Yeah. And I think that like, for me, I'd be curious if they could do an online open maybe, and maybe take the 14 and 15 year olds and crown them there, and, or maybe put them on some type of team or something. Like, I don't know. There just has to be another way of looking at it than having a 14 year old, you know, spend the whole year just trying to go to the CrossFit games. And then they're alone. They're
10 spots. Up. Yep. Yep.
And, you know, speaking from my experience, like, dude, I dedicated a lot of my time to BMX racing, and it was an individual sport. And there's a lot of lessons that I learned that were good. Like, how to get on a gate and overcome adversity, whatever. There's a lot of lessons I didn't learn, man. And I got burnt out by the time I hit, you know, 16, 17. Right. So I agree with you, man. I don't know exactly what the solution is, but I do think removing it from the CrossFit games would be helpful. And actually it would be better for these athletes because they're going to have a longer career, I think.
My best CrossFit memories are from teams, you know, like affiliate cup teams, but also like the invitational teams we did. There's so much to be said about, you know, shared suffering and pushing for something other than just yourself and having others rely on you, relying on others. It's, you know, like you're saying, even to go back to school stuff, you know, like in the real world, how often are you doing something that's 100% just you all by yourself?
Right.
Like very rarely. Yeah. For the most part, it's at least two people. If you know, obviously, you know, you have your own things you have to do, but most of the time working in teams, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it should be, you know? So I think there's, you know, like you're saying, school wise and sports wise, why not have kids starting to work together younger?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, speaking of teams, our first year on Team USA, when we were in London, do you remember the one of my favorite events of that year? I mean, this is, I'm speaking for myself, obviously.
Yeah.
Was that box jump thruster, and we were way behind, and I came back, and then do you remember? Anyways, that was like a
155 pound thruster.
Yeah, I remember that, and it was like very at the end. We were like doing 30 inch box jumps, and then I went over and I tagged you, and then you and I think it might have been Rebecca did your thing.
Me and Julie were doing.
Oh, Julie,
Amanda.
Oh yeah, dude, that was a. That was a hell of a year. So that was a hell of a year.
Invitational years were fun. The year in NorCal was fun too. That was the first four person team, right?
Yeah. That was the first four person team. That was here in San Jose, man. That was fun. That was at the SAP Center. That was legit.
It was cool, dude. That was a cool event.
What was your favorite? So, you know, they were doing the clean and jerk at the games this last year, and they had showed a picture, I think, of you and I. Remember when they did those ladders, dude? Mm-hmm. And you'd just be like, dude, in the stadium, at the soccer stadium, and that place would just be erupting, man.
All my favorite memories are the tennis stadium, man. They're like, you can't – the at-night events at the tennis stadiums, you know, the thruster legless, the down-and-back chipper, push-pull, anything in that tennis stadium, you know, the weather was like perfect. It's like, you know, 70s, a little chill in there when you get out there, and then it feels awesome. And then the crowd, I mean, yeah. My earliest CrossFit Games memory, obviously, is my first event, but watching you guys. So that was, I was in the heat previous to you doing Amanda, which we won't talk about what happened there, but I just remember
the event that shall not be spoken about.
I just remember sitting up top watching, you know, like I'd done my event, I'd had enough time to go get my stuff, and then sitting down and watching you guys go. Cause you know, at that point, nobody knew who the hell I was. And you know, there was plenty of open seats in there, but man, I don't know. There was just something cool to that.
Dude. Yeah. That event. So for those of you who don't remember this one, and for the, who aren't like, you know, CrossFit historians, they, where I went wrong is this event was like, I want to say it was like 7 or 8 PM. Yeah. Amanda, but they wanted to have like underneath the lights. So they wanted it, which was super cool. Right.
Awesome.
And so I remember waking up and, that year I came in, that was 2010, right?
2010, my first year. Yep.
So I had taken first in 08 and fifth in 09. So I went in there kind of feeling pretty good. And I'm like, all right, man, I gotta make sure I'm fired up for tonight. So I made a terrible error that I didn't eat enough food. I didn't relax enough. I was like drinking Red Bulls, thinking I was going to go and fucking do it. We get out there underneath those lights, man. It just did not go my way. But the reason why I bring that up is, bro, remember they had the flyover. And I remember that year I was like, dude, we made it, because that was the first year at Home Depot Center, you know, flyover, national anthem. Woo.
That was cool, man. All those memories in that tennis stadium, or, you know, and everybody talks about Madison and the Coliseum, which is cool, but man, there's nothing like that tennis stadium.
It was that.
If you know, you know, you know,
if you know, you know. And remember, like sometimes as a competitor, bro, it would be so loud down there that you'd have to like scream, not mad
to your judge.
Right. Like, or he'd have to use like, or she would have to use like hand signals, because you're like, I can't hear shit.
I can't hear anything.
Oh man, dude. Yeah. Anyways, I love it, dude. So with you guys, what are you training for next? Because I'm obviously trying to convince you to get into jiu-jitsu. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I just don't have enough cartilage left in my left side of my body. You know, my shoulders, I'm hanging on by a thread, on my rotator cuff. And then my left knee, some days is great. And other days is feels like it's the two bones are one, but or three bones technically. But, I mean, elk hunting right now is kind of, I've got three hunts coming up, one a month for the next couple months. We have the Rogue Invitational. So still trying to do some CrossFit, but right now, like I said, just carrying a heavy pack, hitting the stair stepper a bunch, pushing sleds.
So you're carrying like a ruck and you're hitting like a endless staircase or whatever.
Yeah. We've done some nasty workouts with that thing. My goal is I want to do Murph. So 50 flights of stairs and then 20 rounds of Cindy. I always do strict pull-ups. So I do 20 rounds of Cindy and then 50 flights of stairs with a vest. I'm going to try to hit that Tuesday or Wednesday next week before the elk hunt, just to like, you know,
what brand of a staircase do you have?
Stairmaster.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You know, I want to get one of those. So
it's incredible, man. Like gnarly. My heart rate immediately goes to 150, 160 and just stays there.
With a pack on.
With or without a pack. Like yesterday, Lakeland had chorus. I picked up my little two from school. The gym's 5 minutes away. So I came here. Kids wanted to run around, do their thing here at the gym. So I wanted to just move a little bit. So I turned the stair stepper up to 12, hit 10 flights, hop off, do 10 strict pull-ups for 10 rounds. And it was good.
No warm-up, just right to it. Double step, single step, and do you touch the railings?
I don't touch the railings. That's the rules. No touching the railings.
Okay. So it's like ghost riding. You're not allowed to ghost ride.
Yeah. No. And usually I just grab that vest and just do it. We have one we want to test. The media guys tested it because they're going with me. But 75-pound pack and 7 minutes on, 3 minutes off. And we're going to call it pack out, you know, like you pack an animal out.
Dude, that's a really great idea because, I mean, I've never done – so I used to do staircase a lot. I actually had one, But I've never done it with a pack on. That would have been a really good idea when I was training on that thing. I don't know why I didn't think about that. Yeah, because the additional load, it just changes the game. Like yesterday, I actually just got done doing a 400-meter sprint with a pack and then a 400-meter run with the kettlebell as part of like, I was at Camp Pendleton doing this event. And it changes the game when you got a pack on.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Because pulling out, after you like field dress elk, you're talking about hundreds of pounds that need to get pulled out, right? Like,
yep. So we had train, last year, you're in trouble. Last year, I had about 80 pounds, I think, but mine was like I had the head. So I had the full head, his neck, skin, and the rack. So like not only is it heavy, but it's doing this type of thing. So I would have to grab his horns and kind of pull him up, and then until my hands would go numb, and then I would grab here on his brow tines and pull up and walk. Basically, I was doing 5 minute intervals of that where I would pull.
For how
here,
long?
2 hours. My heart rate averaged for 2 hours, 140.
Wow.
And we stopped three or four times, and just you'd find a log and you just set your whole pack on the log and you just hang there.
Oh, you just like hang out.
And give you like 2 minute rest and then you'd walk again. Dude, it's the most daunting thing ever.
Does it give you a whole different impression? Because like, I know that people have their opinions on hunting, but like for me, I haven't explored it as much as you, but like, I almost feel disconnected. Like, I feel like if you're going to get mad at someone who's hunting, right, and doing it the right way, like ethically, all that stuff, by the way, I should note, all the hunters I've ever spoken to have always tried to do it with the utmost amount of care for the animal and like doing it right. Like that's why you train. You know what I mean?
Most hunters want the same thing that vegans want: more animals. That's what we all want, right? We want more healthy animals. That's what hunters want. That's what vegans, vegetarians, whatever want. We're just going about it two different ways, but we still want the same thing. You know, so we had Blood Origins, Robbie Kroger came on to our podcast and we talked everything hunting and all the conservation and stuff like that. But there's so much, I'm so much more appreciative of meat that comes from the store now. And I waste a lot less, as bad as that sounds, I waste a lot less now knowing, one, how hard it is to kill something, to, you know, the whole, what it takes, the grind, everything. But also seeing and like knowing there's an attachment to life, you know, like there's almost like, as bad as it sounds, there's a disconnect with meat in the freezer
100%.
At the grocery store. You're just like, there's a red, you know, red piece.
I'm just
of
grabbing
meat,
a
whatever.
Filet. I'm grabbing a ribeye. Like it's like, you know,
when you kill something and you see the life leave it, you're like, there's a bit of remorse. Like, and if you're not a sociopath, like everybody wants to say, oh, hunters are sociopaths. Dude, when I kill anything that I kill, there's this immediate like, dang, you know, like, did I really need to do that? And then I'm like, yeah, like it's sustainable meat. It's meat for my family. It's the purest of pure. Like, that animal lived a good life. I made a clean shot on it. You know, it died. It died probably more peaceful than an animal, other animal getting it, because, you know, an arrow or a bullet with a good shot is going to, this animal is going to expire way less painfully than if a grizzly or a bear or a lion or something. Like, they're ruthless killers.
Yeah.
Usually eat them while they're still alive, you know? So, you know, there's this, there's a ton of arguments about it,
no,
but
I think it's really
the same thing.
I think it's a really interesting subject, because coming from like a non-hunter background, I think there's just these stigmas. And then I went and took the hunter safety course, and I went and did some more education on it just for myself, because like,
yeah,
I wanted to understand more about it. And when you actually deep dive, you know, one of the reasons why my son's so interested is like, dude, he feels disconnected. And frankly, so do I. Like, it's just like, oh, let's go throw a steak on the barbecue. It's like, well, where did it come from? And I feel like for you, when you actually eat the meat, and this is something I actually am looking forward to experiencing, because I want to know what that feels like to when you're at home and you cook up a piece of elk, you, every time you do that, like with my son, like I'm thinking,
the memory comes back.
The memory comes back. I'm just thinking like the journey to the journey, the, like, is that what happens when you're doing that?
100%.
I've never experienced that.
100%. Every time I eat, I've got a bull and I have a cow now. They're kind of intermixed. Like, I don't know which one's which, other than a couple of them have separate packaging. But if I know the cow, that memory of that cow and how the whole trip and the kind of the brotherhood of the guys that were there, the bull is the hardest thing. Like, if you look at start to finish, the bull kill, harvest, takeout is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It took me 22, like between trips, it took me 22 days to kill this thing. Anywhere from 10 to 15 miles a day walking, you know, countless trips to Colorado, to Montana, and then thought I missed the shot, made the shot, ups and downs, emotions. Like, there's so much that goes into that. That was hard. And then carrying that thing out, that entire start to finish was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And so to have that and go back and dwell on each of those, you know, situations, scenarios, whatever you want to call it, and then the people that along the way that I either learned from or were with the entire time, yeah, it's there. It's so that bull's head, the taxidermy, is in my living room, which Hillary hated, but my kids freaking love it. But still, when I walk by that thing, those memories come back. Like, it's just, it's not a trophy per se, like, hey, look at me, it's for me. Like, I remember that. And now some of my best friends actually were on that trip, and I've become closer to those guys. It's a lot like CrossFit, the shared suffering and the ups and downs. And you just can't, to somebody who's never done it or isn't even open to, you can't explain it, man. It's you could understand it. It's a lot like the CrossFit games and being on a team and common, you know, but there's just something to it. And it just feels right. You know, you were talking
primal. Yeah, it's like shared suffering. It's like your belt buckle idea, right?
Yeah,
like, that's the reason why I felt so great when you did your 100 miler, right?
Like, yep. I'll never do anything with that thing. It's sitting in my, like, so it just happens every time my CrossFit Games medal, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do something with that. It always goes in my sock drawer. So that belt buckle, sock drawer, and I look, and there's two CrossFit Games medals just sitting in the bottom of my sock drawer. And so it's like, I don't even care about those things. It's the memories that I've made doing that. And down the road, you know, obviously I'll put them up and do something with them. And, but to me, they're just things. It's the memories and the, along the way that they actually mean something.
It's funny you mention that, because, you know, I know you have a lot of memorabilia. I know I do as well, just from over the years, whether it's a Team USA jersey, which I actually have sitting over here, or it's whatever, right, you've gotten. And at the time, you know, I moved houses a few times along the journey, like, just like you, you know, you built your new house and stuff. And sometimes when you look at this stuff, you're like, oh, I don't need to take that with me. It's not that bad. And, you know, I almost like kind of kick myself sometimes, because, like, for example, anytime you won an event back in the day, you would get like this placard, you know?
I gave all those away, man. I wish I would have kept some of them.
So back to your point, I had like, whatever, 15 of them, whatever it was. And I wish I had kept like the Burn and Run, for example. I wish had kept something that was like really meaningful to me, but like at the time you don't really think much of it. And then you're still in the sport. You're thinking, oh, I'm going to get more, whatever. But dude, you know, you might not be in the sport forever. And those are memories that, like, anyways, I wish I had taken more stuff and just said, hey, these are off limits to sell or not. I never sold anything, but you know,
right. But give stuff away. I mean, and then I'm almost like, for my kids, you know, that's what I'm thinking about. Oh, I'll keep onto this, 'cause they may want it. 'Cause you know, like when I was a kid, and still like stuff my dad had or my mom, I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, like old sports stuff. Cause I was so into sports. I'm like, I had my dad's old jerseys and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'll hang on to some of that. But to me, you know, to you, they're probably just things. But then now you sit back and you're kind of in the twilight of your career and you're like, oh yeah, probably should have kept a couple of those, but dude, who knows, you know, maybe they made somebody else happy, you know?
It's so funny. I was having coffee this morning before the kids went to school and I was like, oh yeah, I'm about to go talk to Rich. And Caden's like ears prop up and he's like, he like looks up. He's like, Rich Froning. I was like, yeah, dude. He's like, nothing I do is ever going to be as cool as Rich Froning.
Never. My kids the same way, you know, like it is what it is. My kids are like, cause you know, they're getting to Lakeland, especially are getting to ages where the boys kind of know who I am.
Yeah.
And so like, anytime I see like some of her friends or something, like there's a kid that's in Lakeland's grade that's on Trice's baseball team because we played Trice up. I was like, we're not playing T-ball. But anyway, so this kid's Maddox. And dude, anytime I see him like in car line yesterday, he's like, hey, Rich, hey. And then like, he hops in the car, rolls out the back window, waving.
Makes
the corner, waving. And Hillary's just like, man, Lakeland's going to be so mad at you because her friend, like her boyfriends are going to want to hang out with you more than they're going to want to hang. So it's just, you know, it is what Lakeland could care less. You know, I'm just dad.
You're just
which
dad.
Which is good.
Which is the way it should be. Dude, so how are you going to handle? Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot with, I was thinking that the technique when a guy comes by the house is I act kind of cool, but I have Caden just sitting there holding a baseball bat, just like chilling in the corner. Like, and doesn't say a word to the guy.
I said this on a podcast and it kind of came out and there was like, of course, some people did not like it. And I won't actually do this, but I joked and I stole this from somebody else. But the rule was when somebody wants to take Lakeland or Violet out on a date, they have to wrestle me in the front yard. Now they don't have to win, but you got to be man enough to come after dad, you know, like I'm fine if you don't win but whatever, but you got to wrestle me in the front yard. And of course people are like, oh, you chauvinist pig, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't care. That's me.
Dude. I mean, hey man, like the way I'm trying to raise our kids is like, like Caden, it's like, I want to be the toughest, you know, I want him to be able to fight, stand up for himself, stand up for others. I want him to be that guy, but I also want to be super compassionate, super loving, super caring. Yep. Like, and you could be both of those things.
You
like,
can be both of those things 100%. And that's the problem with today is if you're promoting violence, then you're BS. It's not toxic masculinity. Like a man should be able to protect, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's what I tell Trice every day when we go to school. Trice, what's your job? Protect my sisters. You know, like that's your job as a man. Yeah. You're not. And I say, I'm like, hey, you don't go looking for a fight. You don't start a fight. But you protect. And that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm so, you know, tired that we have to like, oh, you know,
you got to justify it. You know, like, you know, so I regularly spar with and grapple with both my kids. And I treat them a little bit differently. Like Ava, it's much more of a self-defense thing. Like someone puts their hands on you, I want you to react this way. Whereas Caden, it's more like just having a baseline. And one of the reasons for that, man, I don't know if you've noticed this, but like the more self-confidence I could build in the kids, whether it's through sports, whatever, you name the item that we do to build self-confidence, the less likely they're going to be, in my opinion, to be bullies or whatever, because they're comfortable. Yep. You know what I mean? Like Trice, if you raise them the way I know you are, like outdoors, doing all these things, like building confidence, he's never have to go to school and like boast, you know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
heck no. Just be who you are. Protect the little guy. Like, you know, it's just, yeah. It's so, you know, it's crazy. The world, it's, you don't want to like shut them in. You got to expose them to the world. But part of you is just like, man, I want to like, you know, buy some chickens, plow a garden and keep my kids to myself. But you know, you can't do that. That's not how it's going to work. And that's not how we're going to fix things. And, you know, just teaching our kids to be good kids, good people.
That's it, man. You know, I actually just shared on this podcast, I do these like short format, like 3 to 5 minute things. And one of the ones I did was like back to the basics. And I was listening to this guy, or, you know, I think, you know, who he is, Sal Frazella. And he was talking about his morning thought was like with his kids, I think we get wrapped up thinking about all these different things we could do, from teaching them all these life lessons. But the foundation, the framework, the building blocks and the basics are just like being able to say please and be able to say thank you. And just like having those things instilled is something that like I'm constantly reminding. Yeah. Just And I think that if we just keep doing it and doing it, doing it, because dude, you meet some kids and some adults, you're just like, man, like we only get one shot at this, you know? Like, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, was just like, we get one shot, man. What are you doing to try and optimize it, you know?
Man, you know, so the hard part for me is like, what I try to do is have a short memory when I do good, short memory when I do bad, because every day is a new day. You know, like I have three things: my faith, my family, my fitness. Those are my three kind of pillars that I look at every day. How did I do in my faith? That's getting in the Bible. Am I living it out? Am I practicing what I preach? Like at night, I'll sit down objectively. How 1 out of 10, how did you do? If you have a good day there, how do I build on that tomorrow? If you have a bad day, how do I do better tomorrow? Same thing with family and same thing with fitness. And so like with my kids, like there's days where I sit down and I'm like, you suck. You know, like you did a horrible job as a dad. How are we going to fix that? And then there's days where I'm like, that was a good day. That was a good family day. I did a good job. How can I do that again tomorrow? And how can I build on that? Because we're never going to be perfect. Here's the deal is like, you could set yourself up and keep having a bunch of bad days, or you can figure out, hey, how can I, you know, it's just like fitness. You know, for me, the analogy of fitness is like, if I have a really good fitness day, but I don't continue that and don't have some consistency with that, you're going to lose it.
It's irrelevant. Right? Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, and not being stuck in my ways and trying to be super objective with it. Like, did I actually do, you know, did we have some meaningful interactions? You know, like one of the things I've tried to do is instead of getting the kids woke, waking them up by, you know, like, hey, everybody, we got to go out the door, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, have a little bit of fun, like mess around with them, get them laughing to wake up. And then from there, all right, you know, like Lakeland and Hillary yesterday, Hillary didn't like what Lakeland was wearing. Well, huge fight. Lakeland leaves. I want to wear, why can't I wear? This is the worst day ever. And so we're in the truck. It's me, Lakeland, and Trice. And I'm like, Lakeland, it's 7:15 in the morning. You've been up for 25 minutes. This is not going to be, yes, it is. Lakeland, you have a whole day. This can, like, you can decide. Like, I know you're not wearing what you want to wear, and you and your mom, like, you guys can handle that later. But you have a decision. Do you want to make this a good day? Like, trying, and she's at the age where Trice is just like, no, it's going to be a terrible day, you know? Like, but Lakeland's at the age where it's okay. And so we got her settled down. They play, you know, I don't know if your kids do this, but when we were kids, it was slug bug, right? Where you see slug bugs and you hit them or whatever. Well, now it's Jeep. Cause you don't ever see. We don't hit. Cause we don't promote violence in our family, but, you know, but so
only when a new date comes over.
Then now it's turned into Jeep. And so when they see Jeeps, which I didn't realize there's Jeeps everywhere now, you see them, but you don't think about it. But now, dude, it's a game. And it like turns into like a dance club in the car. Like I'm pulling up old, like, you know, I'm Blue, those songs, like the songs we listen to as kids. Kids are going crazy. Lakeland's like happy, laughing.
It just like,
I get her in the car this afternoon. Did you have a good day? I had a great day. And I'm like, there we go. You know, and Hillary's all worried, like, hey, you know, do I need to call or text her teacher and tell her Lakeland's in a bad mood? I'm like, no, she left the car laughing. And she's like, what? You know? So I'm like, hey, that's a dad win right there. But you know, you have to build on that throughout the day. So it's a,
You said you have a short, short memory when you do well or a short memory when you do bad. That's what you said.
Both, you know, like short memory when you do good, short memory when you do bad, because here's the deal. It's a momentum thing and it's a consistency thing.
Dude, 100%. You know, what's been really impactful for us, at least for Ava, Kate, and I can't get him to do it for the life of me.
Yeah. They're different, man.
But the plunge, for some reason, Ava was, you know, she was kind of being a little bit moody, going through some stuff. And so now she does a cold plunge every day before school. She's more diligent with it than I am. And we keep it at 55, which isn't crazy, but bro, I'm telling you, man, she goes in that and it just like refocuses her and she could have a better day. But just like you're saying, like, your kids are in a funk. You got to find ways to get them out because they do go like this. I mean, especially.
You think about the emotions we go through.
100%.
And we've learned how to mask that, right? Or at least filter it.
Right.
And hell, sometimes I can't filter that. You know, like emotions are hard to filter. But as a kid, they have no earthly idea. So it's like, how can we, you know, like I said, at 5 and 6 is a little bit different. Those games are a little bit different. But with like Lakeland, it's now we're to the age where it's, hey, you don't have to, like, I understand where you're coming from. Like, maybe have a little empathy.
Empathy, yeah.
And and try to level with them. And then it's, all right, how can we move past this? How can we figure out a way around it? She's like, somebody's going to say something about my clothes. And I'm like, if they do, who cares? You know, like, it's just, and it's hard. Like, it's not an easy, and I'm not saying I have the answers, but to try to get them out of that spiral, you know, because you want what's best for your kids. You want them to be able to handle those things. And it's the most fun thing I've ever done, but it's the hardest thing I've ever done being a parent.
Yeah. I just read a book. It's called Family Board Meeting. I thought it was good. I thought it was fine. The book was fine, but the message behind it, I thought was really good, where basically what he was saying is, like, when you own a company, you have like quarterly board meetings. And when you go there, like, you put your phone aside, you're really focused on the board meeting because you're trying to like build a business, for example, right? Yep. This is more traditional businesses, unlike ours, but you know, you have these board meetings. And he was saying, like, why don't we do that with our family? So the idea he brought to the table was having a quarterly family board meeting with each child. So what you do is you go and you have them pick the thing you want to go do. So let's just say it's like Trice. You're like, hey, Trice, our board meeting's on Wednesday. Pick anything you want to go do and we'll go do it, whether it's go-karting, baseball, whatever. And then when you go there, you pick like a 4 or 6 hour window. And like, basically the suggestion is leave all technology, go do your thing. And then afterwards, like once the board meeting's over, there's like this time where you ask for like reflection with them, where like you ask like, hey, what did you like about today? What was going on? And then over time, this gentleman was saying like those board meetings become more and more powerful because as their life gets more complicated, there's more opportunities where like the door gets opened on these board meetings.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So like they might hold something in and then they know they have a board meeting coming up. I thought that was kind of interesting the way that he was saying, like, I think I do that now, but not as like as you know what I'm saying?
Structured. Yeah. So we do try to do best, worst, weirdest. So when they get out of school, hey, what's the best thing that happened to you today? We went to PE. What's the worst thing that happened to you? Dorothy chased me on the playground. What's the weirdest thing that happened to you? Trice's latest has been, this girl just stares at me at nap time. You know, like to try to get them to Lakeland for the most part, some days is like, nah, nothing. Yeah. You know, like she's at that age. But it's to try to like get them to, hey, this is normal for us to talk, you know, because, and my parents are incredible parents, were incredible parents. At no point did I ever question their love for me. Me and my dad just don't have deep conversation. I know and do I understand that he loved me and was trying to, and he was more of a like, and that's why my leadership style is, hey, I'll go do whatever with you. I'm trying to do a better job of, hey, listening and talking, where I'm like, I'll lead. I'll never ask you to do something I wouldn't do. I'm going to lead from the front. I'm going to work. I'm going to whatever. That's my dad and both my parents' leadership style. So the talking side of it is something that I've had to develop. And I'm like, so how do I develop that with my kids to where, hey, they know that dad's always going to be there. And we're going to, if he asks us to do something, it's not something he wouldn't do, but then also, hey, let's have some conversations. Like, let's actually talk about, and not, like I said, do I ever feel like, you know, I was shortchanged as a child or anything like that? No, but I want to set my kids up for success. So why not teach them to be better communicators? And so
100%,
it's tough, you know, like, cause that's not in my nature is never to, hey, let's talk about your feelings. Yeah. Even with Hillary at times where she wants to like talk, I'm just like,
dude, and you know, and so the way you're raised, like, you know, I think about all the time, like with your dad and mom, my dad and mom, like they did I like to think that anybody like that's a good parent tries to do the best they can. Like,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, but they only know what they know and they only know how they were raised. Like I think about my dad, dude, my dad was in Iran where women, like, just think about being raised in a country where like, it's like such a different framework. And so I've had to kind of say to myself, okay, my dad is very similar to yours in a sense of like, my dad is amazing. He's like the best ever. But to your point, like it wasn't until like the last 10, 15 years that more of those kind of conversations happened. Before, it was just very foreign. It just never happened, you know?
Yeah.
Same idea with you. So
same way, Hillary, we were talking and she's like, you know, I'm saying, I don't think I've ever really had a deep, meaningful conversation with my father. And she's like, that's just so sad. And I'm like, it's not sad. Like I've never once felt like my dad didn't love me, you know, but we just didn't do that. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, like caveman, literally, like we're working on something. It's just, Hey, I love you. I love you too, dad. You know, like, that's just what it is. You knew it. And he's an active service. Him and my mom are active service type people, like, or, acts of service.
Yeah.
And so that's how they show their love. You know, that's just is what it is.
Yeah. And then you could take from that and like the things you like, the things you whatever, and then kind of, I talk about, it's like almost like starting a gym or a business, like go try out a bunch of different gyms and see what you like and take it with you, see what you don't like and maybe leave that behind. It's like the same thing with parenting. Like there are certain things that our parents, both of our parents did that like, you know, obviously we hold at a really high regard. There's other things that maybe we thought could have been improved. And then I'm sure my kids will be saying that same thing. Yeah.
They're
going to
be like, dang, dad sucked at this or mom sucked at this. You know, it's the one thing I'm really bad at is the gentle parenting thing is not my, I'm not good at that one.
Yeah. But dude, anyways, it's going to keep evolving. I want to continue to have these conversations, you know, with this podcast. It's like, what can I pick up from other people? Like even talking to you about this idea, like the memories and different things. It's like, we're all going through the same struggle. No one's got this same thing completely perfect.
No.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely not.
Like, and how can we,
and it's always changing, you know, like what you think works today is not going to work tomorrow. You know, like is what it is.
Yeah. And I just, you know, you said it best. And I think about this a lot. Like every day I ask myself like, hey, how did I do as, you know, a husband, a father, as in my fitness, it's pretty much always kind of there, but
fitness is always the easy one for me. It's the easiest one. Like I'm going to make time to fitness because it makes me a better person. That's like right. Hillary, after 12 years has figured out, hey, if I let him go work out, even on vacation for an hour, he's going to be more involved. He's going to be not thinking about, you know, what I've got to do or whatever. So, and finally she's like, hey, you need to go work out. I'm like,
right.
What'd you just say? Is that a trap? You know, like it just works better.
Dude, it's like with my son, I almost look at him like a German Shepherd. I think I'm probably the same way. I just don't know it. And if we don't get ran,
nope, we act the same way, man. He's got to, you just run him.
You got to run him, dude. You got to run him. But you know, but I, what I think about though, is like, imagine like 10 years from now, you look back, you're like, dude, I was shitty at this. But if we keep doing these micro check-ins, right. At least hopefully one day we don't have that regret, you know?
Right. That's the one thing I don't want to have is like, man, you know, and that's something I've come to the realization lately is like fitness for the most part, as long as I maintain some level of fitness, will always be there, but my kids will not always be here. You know, like I was talking to one of my buddies, Josh Wood, and I forgot it was a book or something. He said, by the time your kids leave the house, you'll have spent 90% of the time you'll ever spend with them, like close time with them. And that terrifies me.
Dude, that terrifies me too.
You're right. Yeah.
It's heavy. It's heavy. Right. And, and it, you know, I did another thing, like always saying yes. And I think you're a yes guy too. Meaning like, I'm not talking about in terms of like, yes, you need to create structure and discipline for your children, but like Caden will come home from school, be like, let's go play baseball. Let's go. Let's go. And it's so easy to be like, oh, I want to go, you know, I need to do more work or I need to do whatever, but I'm trying to always be the yes guy. Like, dude, you want to go do something? Let's go.
Let's go. Yep.
Because I think that if you say no too many times, they're not going to start asking anymore.
They're not going to ask. Agreed.
Oh man. You got me thinking about that.
90%
I know,
right? I'm gonna go pick my kids up.
Yeah,
from school.
I think I'm gonna go pull them out of class right now.
Exactly. Yep. Screw this. We're going homeschool right now,
dude. Well, it's 8 a.m. It's 9 a.m. over here on the West Coast. But hey, man, I appreciate you. I'll be seeing you at the Rogue Invitational. Rogue. I know you're bringing the family, right?
I haven't really decided yet. I need to make that decision, but I'd like to.
Okay, and then I got to catch up with you more on like the hunting stuff, and maybe one day. Have you ever had like a one-on-one intro to jiu-jitsu at all? Ever?
No. Come on. We'll do that. And we'll go hunting. We'll go camp at the top of the hill and we'll go hunting.
Dude, you would be so
Caden camping.
You'd be so good at jiu-jitsu, bro. You would be so good. Like people wouldn't know what to do with you. It'd be great.
All right.
Well, hunting, jiu-jitsu, and then biking sounds good to me. But I appreciate you, brother. I hope you have a great day. Hope the kids are doing awesome. And we'll chat to you soon, huh?
All right. Love you. Bye.